This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor. Joseph Sternberg, member of the editorial board of the Wall Street Journal. He writes political economics. He's based in London. All eyes watching the Federal Reserve as it meets for 2 days and then the announcement of its decision-making. Much anticipation, not of the decision. A half point, we're told, is going to be the decision to raise the rates. What the language will describe of the forthcoming decisions over many months to contain what is now understood to be threatening inflation in the U.S., 6% or more. Joe, I read from the Wall Street Journal, trying to find silver lining. U.S. stocks turn higher ahead of Fed meeting. And then it goes on with various reports of positive earnings. We had a negative GDP number reported several days past that was surprising to the marketplace because we grew in 2021. And the expectation is that the momentum into 2022 carried us into more jobs. In fact, many more jobs than we have workers and growth in all sectors, particularly domestic. The surprise could be explained by what you'd have to say, a glitch in the way we do metrics between exports and imports. However, we have a strong economy. At the same time, we have consumers continuing to buy. At the same time, we have a great number of jobs gone wanting of people to serve them, people still changing jobs. In other words, what you associate with worries for an economy, joblessness, is not before us. So right now, the Federal Reserve is concerned with price stability, aka inflation. What is your measure of Powell's language in these next hours? How will he assure the markets that having fallen behind in 2021, he's now going to get ahead of inflation?
Well, you have already seen them try to start that process. I mean, it began, I think it was the last meeting where they released their quarterly projection, this infamous dot plot that you keep hearing about, where each of the members of the committee has to put a little dot on the graph showing where they think interest rates will be in the future. And those dots have been shifting gradually higher as the Fed has been trying to signal that it was going to increase rates more than markets had expected, perhaps at the beginning of the year. So I think that, what the Fed probably is going to hope is that they have been doing so much of that kind of signaling that when they come this week to make the first announcement of that half point interest rate increase, which is very unusual for them. And if Powell at his press conference starts making noises about many more rate rises to come, they're probably going to hope that the market will not be surprised by that. And certainly the other thing that I should note that we're watching at this meeting is what the Fed is going to do about its balance sheet, about all of these mortgage-backed securities and government bonds that it has bought over the course of its quantitative easing program. And I think that they now are talking about a need to contract those, to sell those assets back into the market more quickly than they had expected. So I think that investors are probably going to be looking very carefully at what kind of signal they can get from that. But the bigger problem I think that the markets are going to have here is just one of inexperience at this point. Because can anyone remember the last time we had a normal monetary policy? Not at least since before the financial crisis in 2007 and 8. And some people would say that we didn't even really have a quote unquote normal monetary policy before that. So I'm not sure that you have on Wall Street now a cohort of investors and money managers who have any kind of experience investing in an environment where interest rates might actually at some point be above the rate of inflation anymore. And I think that a lot of them might find that it will be harder than they realized to figure out how to invest in a world where the Federal Reserve is shrinking its balance sheet in the way that it will be trying to do relatively quickly here. And I think that that augurs to my mind, at least the possibility that we'll have a lot more financial turmoil than people might be anticipating just at the moment.
Double, double toil and trouble. The three witches of Macbeth, a.k.a. Larry Summers. Larry Summers says that, and he has a strong voice in these last months of identifying that the inflation was not transitory and was not supply chain. It was endemic. Larry Summers regards recession as unavoidable. Does that signify, Joe, that we're going to touch recession? And what will it look like with all these jobs gone wanting?
Well, I find that strain of thinking a bit problematic, to put it nicely, very irksome, if I'm being even more honest than that, because it's kind of, first off, I mean, it's kind of rich for a bunch of professional macroeconomists to sit around and think that the solution to their policy errors, you know, fostering this inflation over the past year, now is to cast many people out of work, which is basically what that kind of recession talk is about. They're saying that unemployment must be the cure for the inflation that their policies helped cause. Now, note that the Fed is not saying that. The Fed thinks that it's possible to get this problem under control without declining employment, as long as you can just reduce the total number of job openings in the economy. So good luck to them threading that needle. But I think that what we need is a very different kind of conversation about what has to be happening in Washington right now, because the solution to this, to my mind, is going to be a pivot instead of a recession. So instead of saying that the Fed needs to slam on the brakes so that more people are jobless and you have a recession and then you fix inflation that way, which might not even work to fix inflation, what we should be saying is that Washington needs to execute a pivot where the Fed will do its part to normalize monetary policy and interest rates so that investors can go back to allocating capital to productive uses that are good for economic growth and job creation. And at the same time, the political parts of the government, the Congress and the president, should be focusing on tax reforms and deregulating the economy to make that kind of productive investment possible. Is anyone in Washington having that kind of conversation? Of course not, which is why, if we're going to have a recession now, that failure to have that conversation is why we will. But I think that the important political point here is that it's wrong to think that recession is inevitable or that it's the only way that you could cure the inflation. There is an alternative road. It's just that I am not optimistic that Washington is going to take that road.
History, my reading of history, is that the Federal Reserve moves to cure inflation by getting ahead of inflation with its best interest rate offered its best customers. Is that still useful, that old version of how to solve this?
I mean, part of the problem is that the Fed has done so many extraordinary, unusual things over the past 15 years since the financial crisis that on a very nitty-gritty technical level, the Fed itself doesn't always seem to be sure how it is setting policy and what practical effects its policy will have as those tools transmit to the economy. So they don't know what effect their interest rate rises might have compared to whatever effect their shrinking of their balance sheet as they unwind the quantitative easing might have. So the question you're asking is pointing to this uncomfortable answer that actually the Fed is really going to be firing blind as we go through the cycles. They try to figure out what are the specific buttons that they need to push or levers that they need to pull in order to have the effect that they want to have on inflation or the broader economy.
So a $9 trillion balance sheet is an unknown when it comes to solving inflation. Does that translate into what you just said?
Exactly. I mean, before the financial crisis 15 years ago, the Fed was accustomed to setting policy in a world where banks had very small reserves, only a few tens of billions of dollars worth of bank reserves for $10 trillion or more dollar economy. So the Fed could kind of manipulate one short-term interest rate for lending between the banks, and that would be enough to filter out to the economy. Well, I mean, now, because of quantitative easing and regulatory changes, banks hold money more reserves than they ever used to. So that kind of old interest rate mechanism might not be the way that the Fed can operate. They have other interest rate tools, like the amount of interest that they pay banks on those much bigger reserve balances. But I mean, we're still at a very early stage in the economics profession of understanding what changes in that administered rate, they call it, will have on the economy. And they also don't know how an unwind of quantitative easing and the accompanying reduction in bank reserve balances. They don't know how that will affect things. I mean, remember, they tried shrinking their balance sheet before the pandemic and then were surprised at some of the effects that that had in terms of interest rates. And they were surprised at the point at which that effect started to kick in. And so if that was the case before we had a global pandemic and all these economic disruptions, how much more so is it going to be the case now?
I note that the Bank of England is said to raising rates. Now, in Australia, they're raising rates even though there's an election underway. And this is an election year, a midterm election. Is that significant at all that you raise rates in the face of an election would be undermining the status quo, correct? That challenges the sitting government.
Well, I mean, if you're thinking about the political effects of this, it's an interesting question. Do the interest rate increases hurt more or does the inflation hurt more? So, I mean, I can tell you in the UK, where I live, and this is very much of moment for me, one of the quickest ways that interest rate increases trickle through to the economy are through mortgage rates, because so many people, including yours truly, end up being on variable mortgage payments. And so as the rates go up, you can see your mortgage payment increasing with each rate hike. The thing is that increase in your monthly mortgage payment is dwarfed by all of the other price rises that you're experiencing at the gas pump, when you go to pay your home heating and light bill, when you go to the supermarket, when you go to buy clothing, when you go to book travel. So who knows? You might find that people don't care as much about the mortgage payment, especially if they think that this is the smaller price that they have to pay to get under control the much bigger price increases that they're currently paying. So I think that we're in this environment where the politics of this is going to be very unpredictable.
I'm speaking to Joseph Sternberg, member of the editorial board of the Wall Street Journal. Political economics, he writes the column in London. We're going to go to London next because Boris Johnson is not the only one in trouble in Parliament. Other scallywags have emerged over these last weeks, including the suggestion that the leader of the opposition, Mr. Sturmer, is caught up in his own version of bad acting or rascal behavior or just, you know, breaking rules. I'm John Batch.
Stay tuned for more of CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.